platform.
Live from Crestview Studios, Florida, it's the Dave and Duke Collins Show. And now here's your co-host, Speak Free Radio owner David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke. Limber up your dialing fingers.
Hello, folks. This is Dave Gahari. I don't even know if I'm coming through. I suppose I should check. That would make sense, right? Live radio. It's so invigorating. So let's just check to see if I am coming through on Speak Free Radio, okay? And I will let you know in a second. Yes, I am. See that? It's magic. It's PFM. So it is 6:03 Central Time, and it is Father's Day on June 16. And I'm going to log out of Skype to save resources. Hopefully that won't prevent me from receiving some very important messages. So happy Father's Day. I talked to my father earlier today. We talked for a little while. And it was nice because really, how many more Father's Days are there left for any of us, right? We don't know. So it's always good to do that. And if it makes sense to talk to your father, you know, if he's still around, of course. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes people have had, not a good upbringing. And that sucks. But thank you, Ilya. Appreciate that. The email letting me know that it's coming through loud and clear. And we got such a great bunch of listeners. We really do. On speakfreeradio.com. And following this show is Diaz Zulis with Tony Truss. I'm getting pretty good at that. Really nice young guy. This is, I think, his third show, maybe fourth show. Anyway, check him out. Smart guy. We got really the best hosts out there and the best shows. And I'm not just saying that. We really do. And I've heard that from listeners who have said that to me, that you got a really great lineup. I mean, these are the top of the top here, talking about the eternal enemy and knowing the eternal enemy. Flood, Daniel Ballbusters, Giuseppe Saint Asylum, Perfect Triangle, Davis Lerman, Nick Knight Nation Review. I'm going to go through them quickly. Zach, Logos Revealed. Io Kamathi, Jews Are the Problem. And of course, I'm just not going to name all the shows, just the hosts. Let's see what else we got here. Dennis Fetch, The Fetch, Dennis Fetch Show, Inside the Eye Live on Saturdays from 11 to 2 Eastern. Ryan Masano. Ryan's show last night, there were some issues with it, so it's not up. We have to figure out what we're going to do with it. The connection was bad. Hoaxbusters, Rizzoli, King, and Plus. And, of course, Sundays, Eli James, Bloodlines, this show, and the show I mentioned that comes after us. So really hard-hitting folks, great lineup. And thank you to my beautiful cousin Tammy, who just messaged me and said, coming in loud and clear. And we had such a great childhood growing up. I think it was something like 19 cousins, and I love them all. And it's just such a, we really had a great childhood. And of course, thanks to our parents and grandparents, and that's what I was talking about earlier, that a lot of folks aren't able to experience that, sadly. But if you, and I know Tammy's dad has passed, Uncle Bob, so she can't say Happy Father's Day to him. He was a great guy, too. So, let's get to the show. Dave is not here, and the reason he's not here is because he went to Detroit. Who the hell would do that, right? But he did go to Detroit because of this America First Political Action Conference. Anyway, he called me earlier this morning and told me that, you know, he was going to be on his plane. It happened at the plane. Actually, the plane took off, supposedly, like 7 minutes ago. So exactly when the show was on, Dave was flying out. So obviously he couldn't be here. Therefore, I said, call me back when you can, because he was in the airport, and let me know. And I guess that's Detroit Metropolitan Airport. I've been there once. I actually, you know, got a wild hair up my butt in the late 90s and in May. And I just wanted to go to Detroit. I'd never been there. And I flew out there with a girlfriend and like for one day, I think it was. But, you know, flights were cheap and, well, everything was different back then. And on the plane going to Detroit, the guy who was on there was Tommy Hearns, the boxer. Amazing. And he's really, you know, representative of Detroit. Thomas the Hitman Hearns, really nice guy. So that was really a special treat. Detroit was okay. I don't remember much of it. But at any rate, this America First Political Action Conference. This is, I'll read it. An annual white nationalist and far-right political conference. Many attendees are members of the America First movement and supporters of Nick Fuentes. Let's just read what Zyopedia, that's Wikipedia, says about America First. America First refers to a populist political theory in the United States that emphasizes the fundamental notion of putting America first. Why in God's green earth would you want to do that? Which generally involves disregarding global affairs and focusing solely on domestic policy in the United States. This generally denotes policies of isolationism, American nationalism, and protectionist trade policy. The term was coined by President Woodrow Wilson in his 1916 campaign that pledged to keep America neutral in World War I. We know what happened there once the Jews got involved. A more isolationist approach gained prominence in the interwar period, 1918 to 39. It was also advocated by the America First Committee, and I'm pretty sure that Lindbergh was a part of that, a non-interventionist pressure group against U.S. entry into World War II. Decades later, Donald Trump used the slogan in his 2016 presidential campaign and presidency, emphasizing the U.S.'s withdrawal from international treaties and organizations in the administration's foreign policy. Media critics have derided Trump's use of the America First policy as America alone. So, of course, these assholes in Wikipedia put that sentence in there. But they wouldn't counter that sentence with, you know, not media critics, but media advocates have lauded Trump's use of America First as, you know, America taking care of its citizens. No, these assholes would never say that because this shit is all run by Jews. Okay, let's find out about the America First Political Action Conference, okay? So we get back to that. Supporters of Fuentes, also known as Groypers, So Groypers are a group of alt-right, white nationalists, and neo-Nazi activists, provocateurs, and internet trolls. They are notable for their attempts to introduce alt-right politics into mainstream conservatism in the United States. Oh, well. Whatever this Daily Dot is, I don't know, and I don't care. The conference was described by whoever these creatures are as a white nationalist alternative to CPAC, Conservative Political Action Conference. The Arizona Republican, Rolling Stone, who gives a shit, have characterized it as an extremist rival of CPAC. As of 2022, the conference has hosted four elected officials as speakers. Marjorie Taylor Greene, that's MTG. Paul Gosar from Arizona, of course, Greene's from Georgia. Arizona State Senator Wendy Rogers and the Lieutenant Governor of Idaho, Janice McKeachin or McKeegan. I don't know how to say it. Never heard of it. So the one in 2020, it's been going on for 4 years. The one in 20, and it was founded by Fuentes. The one in 2020, the inaugural one, was in February of 2020 in D.C. Speakers included Michelle Malkin, former leader of the neo-Nazi group Identity Europa, Patrick Casey, former Daily Caller editor Scott Greer, and Fuentes. After his appearance at the inaugural AFPAC, and immediately following the 2021 United States Capitol attack, Casey cut ties with Fuentes and declared that he would not be returning as a speaker or a guest at future conferences. Now, I you know what? I'm going to do this while I play the clip from Dukester, where Fuentes was encouraging people at J6 to, I think, storm the barricades or storm the Capitol. Funny, nothing happened to this guy. I don't think they went after him. So the second AFPAC was in February, again, the end of February, in Orlando. It was open to the public. They were secretive about where it was held and reported it would be at the Hilton in Orlando. The speakers there, Malkin again, Vince James of Red Elephants, and John Miller, he's pretty cool. John, J-O-N. And former Representative Steve King. Okay. According to the Orlando Sentinel, the event was more of a dinner than a multi-day conference. ABC News reported speakers spread white nationalist rhetoric. Organizers railed about the U.S. losing its white demographic core, and some called for further engagement like the ire that drove the Capitol attack on January 6th. Gosar was there as a surprise keynote speaker. And the third one, again, the end of February 2022 in Orlando, again, at the Orlando World Center Marriott, sponsored by Gab, which resulted in backlash from Gab users due to Fuentes' harsh comments about Gab users. Many of Gab's donors stated they would stop funding Gab due to this decision. In response to the backlash, the CEO of Gab, Torba, said that controversy is attention. Attention is influence, and that the point of marketing is to influence people to get off big tech and get on Gab. In order to do that, I need their attention. It was later announced Torba would be a guest speaker at AFPAC. Okay. So I'm just going to skip over this stuff. It's not that important. There were additional folks there, you know, the alt-right people. 2023-2024, the fourth AFPAC was postponed after Fuentes claimed to have difficulty hosting the event in Washington, D.C. near CPAC in March 2023. after being removed from the premises of CPAC on March 2, Fuentes organized a brief rally at the Residence Inn by Marriott across from CPAC 2 days later. During his speech, Fuentes endorsed and expanded upon a CPAC speech in which Daily Wire host Mike Knowles called to eradicate transgenderism by adding that Satanism, feminism, liberalism, and Judaism should similarly be eradicated. Yeah. On December 4, and this is 2023, Fuentes announced the fourth AIPAC event will not go ahead in December, as was previously announced it would take place, but would instead take place in 2024. In June 2024, that's right now, Fuentes and his group were removed from their planned venue, the Russell Industrial Center in Detroit, Michigan, shortly before the event was scheduled to take place. The next day, that was yesterday because they were setting up Friday, we'll find out. The next day, Fuentes addressed a crowd by megaphone outside of Huntington Place and stated his intention to reschedule the conference. Okay, let's just quickly look at this. The Russell Industrial Center, it's an industrial factory turned to a commercial complex of studios and shops right in Detroit. And that's where they were scheduled to be. But it didn't happen. And I'm going to tell you why. And the reason I'm blabbing about this is to set the interview up I did with Dukester. Not really an interview, you know that. Dukester was just talking. I said a few things, but to get a background on this thing, this organization. Okay, so this was in the Detroit Free Press. Right wing conference in Detroit is canceled after police respond to dispute. Okay, before we go there, let's just find out about this Fuentes guy. He was born in 1998. He's 25 years old. Let's see. He was born August 18, 98. 8-18-98. He lived in Illinois. Oh, wow, Lyons. Okay, Art Jones is from Lyons in Illinois. Okay, so he dropped out of college. He was at Boston University, BU, which has been known for decades as BU. Dropped out in 2017 after completing his freshman year, claiming he received threats for attending the Unite the Right rally. I'm not going to read what these assholes say, the white supremacist Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. So Jason Kessler, organized that Unite the Right, and he's got a brand new book out about it. Go to dissident.press and you can get it. It's a great book. I helped him with it. Well, I copy edited it. I didn't help him with it. I suppose I did help him with it, but he's the author. So Fuentes is of Mexican descent via his paternal ancestors and is Catholic. He identifies as an incel, involuntary celibate. Okay. Although some of his supporters have criticized him for being a voluntary celibate after he admitted he kissed a girl while he was in high school. I really don't know what this whole incel thing means, but at any rate, I don't know. I don't know what the whole purpose of it is to be celibate. But at any rate, this is that guy, and he does stupid things that we've seen on video. I'm going to get that clip while Dukester's talking. He was filmed in some sort of a fast food place, throwing like his drink at people. Actually, I have it here. I'll play that real quick. Of course, the listeners on Speak Free can't see it, but You can always just go to YouTube and put Nick Fuentes throws drink. Okay, let's play that now, and then we'll finish that article and then get to the Dukester clip.
Oh, whoa! I did.
Wait. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, there it is. So you guys in here saw that. I don't know. Why would someone do that? I have no idea. So anyway, this is that guy. I'm going to read this right now. Right-wing conference in Detroit. And that's where Dukester went to. Dukester went out to Detroit to mingle and show his support. He wasn't a speaker there. This guy Fuentes, I'm sure he... would not want to be associated with Dukester because he's a dummy, Fuentes, that is. So, Dukester is just out with the crowds. And, well, anyway, you'll hear it. But anyway, right-wing conference in Detroit is canceled after police respond to dispute. The leader of a controversial right-wing group canceled their conference in Detroit, alleging they were kicked out of the Russell Industrial Center in Detroit, where he said they had plans to hold events. The move comes after Detroit police had responded to a dispute involving the group on Friday. Nicholas Fuentes of the America First Political Action Conference, AFPAC, said Saturday on social media, so that's yesterday, the group was setting up the stage on Friday at the Industrial Center when people with the center told them they would not be allowed to proceed. Fuentes said they had a contract for the venue. But an official with the Russell Industrial Center said they were tricked by the group and never had any contract directly with Fuentes or AFPAC. Center was working with a third party, a local and reputable production company that does large-scale corporate events for other reputable companies, the spokesman said. He said they would have never accepted such an event if they had known what they promote. The event was canceled due to fraudulent, knowing misrepresentation of the true nature of the event by the production company for their client, and our concern of safety for our facility, employees, tenants, and the surrounding communities, spokesman for the Russell Industrial Center told the Free Press in a statement. The amount of hate mail we've been receiving and terrible things being said toward us by the AFPAC following is disturbing and only affirms our decision as the right one. Fuentes has been described by some groups who monitor hate groups as a white nationalist who promotes racist, sexist, anti-Semitic, and homophobic views. A report last year in the Texas Tribune said he often praises Adolf Hitler. The spokesman for the Russell Industrial Center said it's a performance and arts complex, not a political rally hall. We never have, or will knowingly accept those kinds of events and believe it a gross misuse of our space. We do not politically affiliate with any group or party. It baffles me why they chose our venue for such an event. Detroit police officers arrived at Russell at about 3 p.m. Friday. Spokesman for the police told the paper Saturday, said police were not the ones who shut down the event, but were responding to a dispute between AFPAC and Russell. We did not shut the event down. Police officers from the 3rd Precinct did respond. They stood by. He said it was a dispute between Russell and the group leasing the space. Spokesman for Russell praised the actions of Detroit police, saying they did an outstanding job in responding and peacefully protecting the property. We thank them endlessly. Russell's spokesman added that before the event, we were told when booking the event that it was a private, high-class corporate event with a seated dinner and some keynote speakers. The production company also had us downsize our normal security protocols, as they kept ensuring this was a corporate event with all professional corporate attendees. Fuentes posted a photo on X of what appeared to be himself inside a center on Friday with some police officers near him. Yesterday, we finished setting up our stage, and then the venue called the cops to kick us out 24 hours before the event. Fuente said on X, it would have been our biggest yet with about 2,000 attendees. In addition to his post on X, Fuentes, now they spelled it right, posted more details on Telegram about what he said happened. He said they were trying to negotiate Friday with the property manager when police arrived and threatened them with trespassing charges if they didn't leave. Fuentes said about 100 people with their group were there and that the doors were then locked with some of their equipment still inside. But the center's spokesman had a different take on what happened. The police were called after the production company refused to stop their operations and continued setting up for the event after we notified them of its cancellation. We were very cooperative in allowing them to stay in the venue to begin removing their belongings off the property, but anything past that, their presence would be considered trespassing. The spokesman added the production company also had, he said that already, I don't know why they're repeating it. Then they're talking about Fuentes' conferences. They were trying to find an alternative venue. I'm sorry for everybody who traveled to Detroit for this event, he said in the Telegram post. He said they will be in touch for possible refunds and intend to reschedule the conference, which would have been their 4th. On Saturday evening, Fuentes was seen on a live stream with a megaphone addressing a crowd below him outside Huntington Place. He said this is not a free country anymore. He railed against what he called the Jewish Mafia and heaped praise on Henry Ford, calling him a visionary who was attacked for his anti-Semitic views. He again slammed Israel as the crowd chanted, "Christ is King, no more wars, down with Israel." Very nice. Okay, so if you go to the AFPAC page, you'll see that you can get tickets, general admission, $150. General admission after party, $200. Premium supporter, $1,000. Sponsorship packages, $2,500, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. This is dollars. For $20,000, you get 4 VIP tickets with tables plus dinner. An after party with access to private VIP areas. You get, for the platinum sponsor, which is $20,000, you get 8 VIP tickets. So, plus a donor dinner. Oh, $20,000. Let's see, 8 people. Divided by 20,000. So how much is that? That's 2,500? No, let's see. Let me do some quick math. All right. I should know this off the top of my head. I used to. divided by 8. Yeah, 2,500. So 2,500 per person for a couple hour event so you can meet Nick Fuentes. Didn't happen though, because Jews don't like that stuff and we can't have that. So that's pretty much everything I wanted to talk about prior to getting into the clip when I spoke with David from the Detroit Metropolitan Airport in, I think, Romulus. So let us take a look here. I'm going to, or me, not us, I'm going to see if anybody has any questions before I start. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Elizabeth. Happy Father's Day. All right. No, the Jews probably not funding that conference too, Nick. Okay. Yes. Yes, Nick is leaving a lot of posts. Okay. Is Fuentes a, I guess, crypto sodomite? I don't know, but that incel thing is kind of a little weird, whatever that means. Okay. He's 25, I think I said, Fuentes. All right. No sex. Yeah, but what's the whole point? I don't understand that. What? Why would somebody want to not have sex? I mean, what does that mean? Is he like a monk or something? Or, you know, I don't get it. No sound. What does that mean? What motivated Dukester to go? We can ask him next week. Okay. No call-ins. On a can- no, we're going to have call-ins. Okay. All right. Right. Yes. Okay. Is Fuentes still subject to a fly ban? I think he's on the no-fly list, I think, but I don't know for sure. Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth, for thinking that this is boring. Appreciate it. Okay. So, let us do this first, okay, before we get into the long Dukester quote-unquote interview I did, okay, let's see if I could just bring up that that clip of Fuentes at the Capitol egging people on to literally break down the barricades and get into the Capitol. I'll look for that. But in the meantime, here's your favorite guy, Dukester. Okay. And now you could leave messages in this, of course, in this private chat while it's playing, if you want me to, you know, move it along faster or whatever. It's about 45 minutes, so it's up to you guys. All right, so let's go here. Okay. Well, let me show you first a clip of Dukester outside of, and this is from yesterday, video clip. This is Dukester outside of this event.
So you're David Duke?
Yes.
Okay. Nice to meet you. What brings you out here? This is the Groiper.
To support Nick and his work and all the Groipers that are out here and all the people that are working to save our country and save us from Jewish supremacism.
Are you friends
Jewish
with Nick?
Genocide, because we're being genocide just like the Palestinians. It's just a different form of it.
Are you friends with Nick?
I consider him a comrade in the fight.
Gotcha.
For our people.
Okay, cool.
And I'm very appreciative of his work.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Okay. So that was Dukester yesterday at the shutdown conference. And let's go to this. Joining me from Detroit at the airport is Dave, who was just out in Detroit for a conference. So let him know, you know, where you are, you know, why you went out and what happened out there.
Well, I came out because I really have been enjoying, I like the work of Nick Fuentes. He's a very young man, but he's knowledgeable, he's intelligent, and he's one of the few people that are really hitting hard on the Jewish question. And as you know, and I know you believe just like I do, that the Jewish question is the axis upon all the other issues facing not only Europeans, but the whole world. It's the absolute critical issue because it is the force that's leading us into these insane wars. It's the force that's changing the demographic and destroying the foundations of the people of Europe and much of the world, that's trying to control the world, not for the interests of America, by the way. And I'm not even for that. I don't, as an American, you know, very early in my life, Dave, and I think this was a major understanding to me. Of course, I grew up and I came to realize at a very young age, 13 years old, I realized that the white people of America were headed for disaster. I could see the fact that even then, and we're talking about in the 60s, immigration wasn't being enforced properly. So the members of Congress, and we didn't have Homeland Security then. We had immigration, naturalization, this and so forth. But these people that were running it, both Republicans and Democrats, were not enforcing our laws. So they were really breaking their constitutional oath to enforce the laws of the United States. And every country in the world works very hard to maintain the integrity of its borders. If you try to cross a border in any nation of the world and you don't go through customs and immigration, and that's another reason you don't want that, because you don't want drugs coming in, illicit weapons, any sort of thing going on, contraband, all whatever. And criminals, by the way. You don't want criminals coming into your country and then running away from another crime and then committing a crime against the citizens of your own country. So founding our founding the principles of America or any country is really based on first and foremost about securing your borders. If you don't secure your borders, you really don't have a country. So as a young age, I realized that the Jewish establishment, we had three television networks. They were all three Jewish controlled. Now we got three. We still got ABC, NBC, CBS controlled by Jews. We got Comcast is one of those. We got CBS, which is run by what's called Viacom. That's the Rothstein. it's crazy, but that's his original name and the family. Now it's Vicky or it's his daughter. And then you got NBC. Well, NBC is Comcast, and ABC is Disney under Iger. And this Jewish control of our media is so powerful. I mean, they control Wikipedia, they control Facebook, they control Google, one of the most powerful media corporations in the earth. In fact, probably the most important mind-shaping institution on planet Earth. It reaches into the minds of probably 7 billion people, maybe more. It controls you even without you even understanding or realizing it's controlling you. For instance, let's say you want to know about a particular candidate or a particular person, and you Google it. Well, Google's going to decide what websites, and they have algorithms so they can do this without having an individual monitoring you every second, of course, which would take huge amounts of people. When the Stalinist era or the communist era, when they tapped you, or when the FBI used to tap you, or the CIA taps you, it took a team of about 3 or 4 people around the clock to tap your phone. Now, of course, it doesn't have to do that at all. They just use an algorithm, and every call you make, especially on cell phones or home phones, it all can be tracked digitally and instantly, and they can literally process, and they do process billions of calls a day, and they'll know who you're calling, who's calling you, and they'll probably have recordings of this. We're also going to know what websites you go to, what websites you don't, which means they can tailor the propaganda for or against the candidate based on what they know your personal preferences are. For instance, let's say that we had two candidates running. We had Herschel Walker in Georgia, who was anti-abortion, and then you had Warnock, who was pro-abortion. Warnock ended up winning. But let's say that you wanted to make sure that people who were opposed to abortion, you had a way to make them feel emotional how they couldn't support Herschel Walker. Even though Warnock, if you really are opposed to abortion, Warnock is for abortion, complete abortion, the Democratic idea, abort some kid anytime. You can even, at the moment of his birth, practically, you can abort him. So when you have this kind of power, that means, let's say that you wanted to target, you could easily target and find people who were very much opposed to abortion and the principle of abortion. And people, also, you could even talk about knowing their emotions, and you could actually read their chats. You can read their, you can even read their Google and YouTube. They even sell some of that data to advertisers and other forces. And Google, by the way, is tied in with the ADL. It's tied in with literally Jewish intelligence. The Mossad is connected, and cybersecurity in Israel is connected to Google. That they invest billions, in fact, in the country. So let's say that you didn't want, let's say you wanted to find a way to make people who were opposed to abortion hesitate and not vote for Herschel Walker, who's definitely going to vote against abortion in terms of the law, which affects thousands of people. Because of the fact that Herschel, what they alleged anyway, whether it's true or not, we don't know. But they alleged, and they have an emotional woman who's saying that Herschel Walker made her get an abortion, which makes the person to be the ultimate of despicable to anybody who's opposed to abortion. And so if you do that and you target those people, which would be like in Georgia, probably hundreds of thousands of people, I would probably vote for Herschel because of the stance on abortion, among other stances. There's other stances that you vote for besides a particular issue that you might be interested in or you might have an opinion on. This, I'm just talking about the mechanisms. It's important we all understand this, right? So you have this emotional thing. They send you a commercial, or they send you this cheerful woman about how Herschel made her get an abortion and the sadness and the devastation in her life because of it and so forth. So with that, that's enough for one person to say, I just can't vote for, Herschel Walker. Even though Warnock is going to be voting for abortion because people are emotionally upset about him. But the same way in the sense that there's a lot of people on the left who aren't going to vote for Joe Biden because they're not going to vote for Joe Biden because of the stance of supporting Israel's genocide against the people of Gaza. So if you're able to identify certain aspects of that and their opinions, you can then target things if it's emotionally created. This is not things that are necessarily fact. It also can be total lies, because you can make a commercial that's believable on anybody. So this is the ability to affect millions of votes. Now, a Jewish guy who was one of the editors, editor of Psychology Today magazine, Robert Epstein, has kind of waged a war against Google because he was so upset about the fact he believed and he showed evidence. He testified under oath that his studies at universities around the world estimated that millions of votes were given to, for instance, Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump because of this process of controlling the search engines, and then other things they could do. For instance, one thing they did in that election, they did in the last one too, is they find out what your voting preference is. So they know what sites you're going to. They know what your chats say. They know what your messages say to each other. They know all that, right? So they find out you're for Biden. So what they do is they have unlimited money. It doesn't cost them on their list to just send whatever they want out. There's no cost. So they can send 6 or 7 messages a day to all the, you know, to all the people, literally, that are using Google, which is about 80% of the people doing search engines. And that can send them a message. They've already identified them as Biden voters. They send them a message to make sure you vote today. And just by that thing, reminding them and giving them urge to do this and how important it is as an American, and important it is to exercise your right to vote, they can affect, you know, literally across the country, millions of people's votes who are affected. Because they know, since they know their sentiments, they know who to target to try to get the vote out for them. At the same time, they can do other things if they want to target against Trump. Now, the same thing can go against Trump with Biden. Now, Biden, even though Trump has defended Israel, which is pretty bad stuff. In fact, we're going to talk about this in a minute in terms of Detroit. It's very important that I think Trump need to get off this Israel bandwagon. He promised us to be America first. His whole campaign was based on America first. So right now, according to Trump and Israel, it's America last. And Israel is not only destroying and the reputation of all Americans and the interests of the American people in every way by supporting this genocide in Gaza, it's also supporting the Jewish state. A state that's committed terrorism against us. Yes, terrorism. And the attack on USS Liberty. In the Iran affair, where they bombed American communities in Egypt, trying to get us in a war in Egypt. And, of course, the Jonathan Pollard case. And many other cases. Israel, you know, and Israel has brought us, and not just Israel, but the Jewish supremacy. The Jewish racist ethno-supremacy that they have. And that's a good word for ethno-supremacy. Or ethnocentrism. Because there's no people in the world that are more ethnocentric than our Jews. That's just the reality of life in this country. And that's the reality of the world. And by doing this, by supporting the Jewish elite, the Jewish establishment, Israel, and the United States, politically, what they're actually doing is they're supporting the destruction of our people because they have been the driving force behind the massive immigration. They've been the driving force behind the change of our country and these insane wars that have bankrupted our country, hurt our country in every way. And they're right now causing the death of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians and Russians and others in a crazy war, which is a Jewish war, against not just the people of Ukraine. It's killing the people of Ukraine for no reason. It's just about neutrality. The Russians didn't start this war. The Jewish neocons started it. So one thing that I was... You know, one thing that's very dear to me and clear to me is one thing I've learned as a young man is that if I wanted to stand up for the heritage and the rights of my people, I realized very foundationally that it really is hypocritical for me to be for my people, which I am. I want to preserve our people and our heritage without according that same right to all people in the world. And not having this system right now that is not only destroying our rights to survive, but other people in the world. It's a great threat to the world. And it's never-ending wars, which are killing our people and bleeding our people, costing trillions of dollars. And it's totally against America first. So Nick is basically saying he's got doubts about voting for Trump. And I think in this election, I didn't do that in the last two. Trump ran it. I said, you know, on a pragmatic basis, we should vote for Trump. But this is so egregious what Trump's doing right now is I think it's time for us to use some leverage. We've got to get our people to stand up for us. And nothing is more basic. Trump always says he follows his, you know, keeps his promises and so forth. Well, he promised the American people and his followers and his supporters that he was going to put America first. And right now he's not. He's supported this money even to Ukraine. He supported this money to Israel. He's supporting this insane war, this mass murder, and we're being ethnically cleansed the same way the Palestinians are. So I had a very there were a lot of interesting people at the America First meeting. And by the way, I can tell you an update on it. So they had about 2,500, 3,000 people that were going to attend it. Very, very well attended meeting. And I'm paying a decent amount of money for the tickets. And they were, you know, they're ready to go and so forth. So they had a venue, a major venue. And on Friday before the Saturday meeting, that was canceled because of the Jewish pressure, you know, the elite Jewish pressure, because I got to say, this is one great thing I can say about Fuentes. The Jewish establishment really does hate him, and they're really fighting him. And he's standing up for a true America First, right? And so they despise him, and they work to destroy this meeting. We had 2,500 people to go support this and get these issues aired out to the people, and that's a very swing state, and the people of America. And this was stymied. Again, our right to freely assemble, freely meet, because this was terrorism, basically. It was a terrorism, because what it is, it's like, if you do this, we're going to destroy your venue. We're going to destroy your hotel. We're going to destroy your facility. We're going to make sure that you're boycotted and destroyed. This is just nothing more than the same thing as someone doing some sort of fraud or some sort of effort to, to coerce you into sending people money. Because what would happen if they didn't do this is, they're going to lose the money anyway. So they're kind of made them give up the money, which they gave up the money for the meeting that they were getting from the meeting. But they are also, if they didn't do this, that company would have lost all the meetings, because they would have put pressure in every individual meeting. This is the war on freedom of speech that's being waged by these Jewish supremacists. And so it was first, that was canceled. They set up they had a second venue plan because they know their power. And then at the last minute, an hour before the event was scheduled, it was taken out. The pressure was put on. The threats were made against this institution. They were canceled. And ultimately, Nick did give a speech out in the open and, on the street, basically. But they had thousands of people there. I saw that speech. It was excellent. And I just came there just to show my support. I didn't come there for me. I just came there to let people know who are supporters of mine. There's a lot of people there, obviously, Americans First. That was my campaign slogan back in, when I first ran for office in the 1970s. America First is what I support. I support the work in the Fuentes. And I think it'd be great if he'd be president. I don't know anybody else that's running he's not running this time, but who could be a big president. Of course, he's a little young for that now by constitutional law. But I think he's got a good future, and I like what he's doing and he's saying. Everybody's got certain disagreements with everybody, but I think I judge somebody most importantly on this major Jewish issue. So starting out from the beginning and just wrapping it up here, and we can go anywhere you want to. As a young man, I just came to realize that the way to fight this thing with a bulletproof argument that anybody can use in their schools, they can use this among their business people, to their parents, to their relatives, their brothers and sisters. It really makes sense for every people to have the right to preserve their unique identity, their traditions, their values, their moral positions, their religious values, their cultural values. All these things, it's normal. And every people has that right. And in America, we've lost that right, and they've literally been replacing our people. And it's very important to point out what's happening in terms of Gaza and the West Bank and Palestine is what's happening to America. But it started first by they couldn't put it, there's not enough Jews to take all of America, right, and put Jews in. But they certainly wanted to change it so the European American majority would be a minority. And they believed, and they have done, with their hate propaganda and racist hate propaganda against white people.
Yep. Dave, let me ask you about...
I'm almost done.
Yeah.
It can demonize white people, which would lessen our power. And so they took over our media. They took over our politics. They used their money and influence, their banking, which is huge. And there are thousands of organizations that stand up openly for Jewish interests while Jews have made it impossible, like the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center, all Jewish finance and control. It's impossible for Europeans even to defend our basic civil rights in this country. But I realize now is there's no way we can defend our position unless we understand that and we recognize it for all people. And I had some great interviews this weekend with a couple people that young people listen to, very interesting people that do talk shows. All of them, you know, are very much opposed to Zionism. They're opposed to the Jewish APAC control over America. They know it's a bad thing. They're opposed to these wars just like we are. And they interviewed me, some long interviews. And these people have huge websites. They have huge podcasts. And they heard my message long and clear. They asked me about my Klan background, and they understood exactly where I was coming from. Yeah, I haven't been a Klan for 40 years, more than 40, 45 years. But they understood when I explained to them, it's just like, do you believe in the right of the Palestinians to have self-determination there and so forth? And of course they would say yes. You know, of course we believe that. We support that 100%. And I'm sorry, I'm doing an interview right now, but if you know, somebody wanted me to find something for them. So you can, yep. Sir, if you want to hear what I'm saying, you can actually listen to it.
Where are you on right now?
I'm on with Dave Gahari. We're just doing a recording. But you can hear my side of it if you just want to listen. Right here. No, it's not on the air.
It will be tonight.
Yes, it will be tonight. It'll be Tom tonight. Okay, Dave.
Yeah. So that's what I want, Dave.
Go ahead.
Detroit.
Got the question.
Yeah, Detroit is 25%. It's got a 25% Arab population. Dearborn is 55%. Did you notice that when you were out there that you were surrounded by a bunch of Arabs?
I did. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting in the fact that, you know, they're going to vote against Biden. And they recognize, believe it or not, the Jewish power that rules America. And in this particular time and place, even though I'm certainly opposed to mass immigration, obviously, I also understand that...
Okay, we are taking a top-of-the-hour break. So it is 7 o'clock Central Time. You're listening to the Dave and San Duke call-in show on speakfreeradio.com. And we are listening to the call I made with Dave when he was in the Detroit airport, Detroit Metropolitan Airport, a couple hours ago after leaving there for the conference that didn't happen, that AFPAC conference. So I did find the video where Fuentes is encouraging people to break down the barricades of the Capitol. So I'm trying to figure out how to get that in. Okay, so let's get back to what's remaining on that.
They're actually opposed to the Jewish power ruling America. And I think that even they understand, because they have roots in the Middle East like we have roots in Europe, and they realize, they're getting to realize that Jewish power in America has not only affected the rights of European Americans, and it's been the reason why this genocide in Gaza is going on, which they're obviously opposed to. And what I've been trying to explain to those people, because they're here, they're not going anywhere right now, and I don't know if there's a way to do that, but the point is that we got to deal with what hand we dealt with here. All I know is Jewish power is the one thing that we have to overthrow legally, law-abidingly, but we have to overthrow that Jewish power, because if we don't do that, we're lost. That's why we're in this mess. They know that, and I think it's really important. And so I was on with a number of people who are of that descent, but they respect Christianity, they respect us, they don't respect Jewish supremacists, and they oppose them, and they oppose these policies, which are bad for us, too. Our government is not just an enemy of the Palestinians, it's an enemy of the American people, and that's right. That's the critical point.
Did it feel like an American city?
In most places, it did. Of course, we were in Morris, in the major hotels and the major restaurants and so forth. It was overwhelming. The ones I saw, anyway. Now, there are different sections of the city. I don't know if I didn't get the impression of Dearborn being 50%, but I did go, look, because I wanted to see it. I wanted to see what's going on there. I did see the big mosque that they have in Dearborn. And in fact, it looks like just many of them that I've seen, of course, in the Middle East. So there is a change in the demographic. And this, of course, in terms of the Israeli population, this is kind of backfiring on the Jews. They did this in a way because any way they could undermine the replacement of American people with non-American people, and basically Jews is where the elite were replaced by. It's not really Arab people that run things. It's not the Arab people that run the New York Times. It's not Arab people that run, our government policies. It's Jews who run things. That's where the power in this country. And they see that. So anyway, so they two big sites. The one of it's a guy named Sneeko, really popular, but in fact, he's friends with Nick. He's had Nick on, and Nick's talked about the same thing, supporting Christianity, supporting white America and the values of white America, but at the same time, calling out the Jewish question. And and there's a lot of people that listen to their sites.
So yeah, that's a guy that does, interviews of regular people in, the New York City subways.
Yep. He does all sorts of things.
Yes.
He's got, millions. He's got millions of followers.
Right.
And
so he interviewed you, Dave?
Yes. He interviewed me. So Smalley interviewed me. We did an interview for about 3.5 hours. And they're going to air this, And they've also been facing a lot of censorship as well by the same ADL and the Jewish censorship. But anybody who listens to that interview, Europeans will be heartened by it, and they'll be encouraged by it, and they'll be strengthened by it and understanding the issues better. But also, it's like they're getting it. And the more people in this world that get it, and you and I are seeing, and a lot of our people listen to your network and our shows, are beginning to see this tide turning. They're beginning to see that people all over the world, including the European people, massively. We just had an election. By the way, have you heard this yet? I don't know if you know this. I just saw him on Redacted, on the tape of the Redacted show from yesterday. So it's hard to say his name. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it in Polish. But one of the members of the Polish government, right? And this is a famous incident. You might have heard about when it happened.
Yeah, the fire extinguisher?
Yeah, the Hanukkah, right? And he went, and the Hanukkah was put into this government building. And
you mean the menorah, right?
Yeah, he lit the menorah.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't lit the menorah.
He doused the menorah, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And he just got elected to the European Parliament overwhelmingly, 70-something percent. And the media, the controlled media, gave him no time whatsoever on the media. But everybody knew about it. And you know what's going on? That people are buying fire extinguishers and bringing to autograph it. Isn't that unbelievable?
That's awesome.
Because people are learning the truth. And he's opposed to, and of course he's opposed to this Ukraine war. And he just points out, he's a Polish patriot. But he understands going to war against Russia is not good for Poland. It's not even good for Ukraine. That the real problems in Poland are these Jewish folks. who now control our meeting. They're promoting the LGBTQism. It's opened our borders. It's changed the demographics. That's teaching us to hate our ancestors and undermining our faith and values. So, I mean, he's amazing. And he was talking about it very openly, and he says, yes, it's amazing. He says, everybody's bringing me thousands of fire extinguishers to autograph. Now, it's important for some of our listeners who don't know this, because we always get a good crowd of people of all sorts of different persuasions. It's important people understand what that Hanukkah symbol represents and what it exposes in this Jewish establishment today. We in America, for instance, like, just like the Hanukkah symbol in the middle of Parliament, this symbolizes Jewish racism and Jewish supremacism. And basically, the reason why it is, and it's a Hanukkah, they're putting up these giant Hanukkahs everywhere, these menorah symbols.
And menorahs?
Yeah, menorahs.
Yeah.
They're called menorahs, or they're each one is singularly a menorah. And plural would be menorahs, yes. Putting up menorahs all over Europe in big places and in America, and they're violating what the constitutional interpretation was by the Supreme Court of the United States, because the Supreme Court said, and the whole case was not about a menorah. The whole case was about Christian symbols up at Christmas time, like even manger symbols, are putting any Christian symbols or crosses up at Christmas time. It was about that. It was about, and the ACLU, which is led by June Inglis at the time, and all these other Jewish organizations, like the American Jewish Committee, went to go to the Supreme Court to outlaw any Christian symbol put on the ground. And this was a contest that was dealing with Allegheny, I think, West Virginia, and the ACLU and all these Jewish groups. But by getting this Supreme Court decision, they made it, you know, they made it illegal. And this was unlike anything in our entire history. From 1789, when the Constitution was founded, to 1989, that's 200 years, there was perfect right for any county, any state, any federal government land to be used and applied for a permit or whatever, and be allowed to put up a manger scene or put up some sort of a, you know, Christian celebration, the birth of Christ, a manger scene or something. And it was perfectly legal. They made that illegal. The same Supreme Court decision. Guess what, folks? If you don't know it, you better learn it. And it gives you, it's the canary in the mine, what's happened to us in this country. The same decision said, okay, you can't have a Christian symbol, but you can put up giant menorahs, which is the oldest and most recognized. It's even much more historic than the Star of David, by the way. It was the original most common symbol for Judaism. But it's perfectly legal on public ground to put up a Jewish symbol on a menorah. And the kicker to all this thing is that the menorah and the symbol that's used at Hanukkah, where they celebrate it and light it at Hanukkah, was a result of a Jewish massacre of Greeks and Greeks and Assyrians and Jews, by the way, who liked Greeks and Assyrians. It wasn't the attack of the Greeks and the Assyrians, not because they were killing Jews, but because they were accepting them. Because they were even allowing their kids to marry them and mix with them. They allowed them in their academies, their educational institutions, and business, and land. They gave them full rights. That's why they killed. They just had a massacre. And after they massacred them, they lit this temple, and that's where you have this festival of lights. It's supposed to be some miracle that made the lamps burn. Even though the oil was supposedly only good for one day, it burned for 7 days, or however many days it was, 7 or 8 days. And that's what the menorah symbolizes. So this is, if you read Jewish sites, it's a symbol that opposes assimilation. Now, every major media, every great powerful force in American education and government tells us every day that, oh, assimilation is good, and we got to assimilate. This is a symbol of Jewish racism and supremacism and mass murderers, by the way. These Maccabees were just nothing but a bunch of terrorists, actually, who killed these Greeks and Persians, and actually the Greeks and Syrians, because they actually treated the Jews nice and they accepted them. I mean, didn't like that, because that's how supremacist and racist these Jews are. But it's pretty amazing to think about it. But anyway, this man got elected. There is a new breeze sweeping Europe, sweeping America. It's happening to a lot of young people. And it's really going to be embraced, not simply by Europeans. We may be the last one to embrace it fully. But it's being embraced by everybody across the world. Because everybody now can see the genocidal nature of the Jewish state. And I don't see this, what they've done to the Palestinians and these children. I don't see this as an exception to Jewish morality. I see it as a reflection, a true fulfillment of this Jewish mentality. Because Jews have a long history of murdering, especially in the last 125 years. We had two world wars, which killed 100 million people. We had Karl Marx and communism. And I think I talked last week a little bit about Karl Marx. Karl Marx, there's a really good video done by Jordan Peterson and another historian. And they talk about a bunch of books and the major historians of Karl Marx, proving that Karl Marx was an open Satanist. He hated Christ. He actually was supporting, he actually wrote a play about Mephistopheles, the devil. And he even his famous and favorite quote was the quote by Mephistopheles, the devil, that everything must be destroyed. And of course, they've been working to destroy the family. They destroy art. They destroy literature. They destroy music. And they destroy the lives of people. And they're the greatest mass murderers in the history of the world. And they killed 20 to 30 million in the Soviet Revolution and beyond in the Gulag. Solzhenitsyn shows the 6 years of the Soviet death camps, the Gulags, and he chose all of them, Berman, Yagoda, Frankel. I mean, they're all Jews. And I remember when Solzhenitsyn showed me that those frames that he used when he published his first book, Gulag, a second book on it, Gulag Fargo 2, and it was on page 79, I still remember that. And that was the reality of it. So 100 million people died from communism, from the spirit of Karl Marx. And the interesting thing is, you should hear the personal correspondence between he and his father, the other communists in his group, they talked about him having demons, right? And he's a demon, and he's using this kind of language about himself. I mean, you can't make this up. This is not something from QAnon. I mean, these are major historians that have proven this about Karl Marx. And one thing that Peterson said and the other guy said that, when you have somebody saying these things and you have somebody saying that they're demons and they're pro-demon and all this stuff, and you have them doing these things and they're leading a movement that actually does do those things. In fact, Peterson was talking about the fact that they put nuns in the prisons in Russia with, believe it or not, prostitutes. That's how much they hated them, just to make it as miserable for them as possible. But he didn't mention the fact that the Bolsheviks, which were led by the Jewish legions, by the way, in Spain, which were supporting the communists in Spain, the Trotsky communists in Spain, that they killed tens of thousands of priests and nuns, murdered them, and raped them, by the way. I mean, nuns, that's satanic. And these people, and that's why they oppose Christ, because Christ just couldn't abide by the oral tradition that they created, which became the Talmud. And Judaism really never got, because they rejected Christ, they rejected his fulfillment, he said, of the scripture, which was everybody was treated as the golden rule, that you do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And the Jews didn't want that, because they wanted to be you know, they wanted to put everybody else in the world under their heel, and they taught that everybody else in the world was inferior to Jews and evil and all the rest of it. And these are the same Jews, though, the Goldman Sachs robberies of the world in America, the same Jews that really, the Sackers, same Jews that ran the British, the Sassoons, and corrupted the royal family to do three wars to save the opium trade of Mr. Sassoon and these Jews that killed and took the lives of millions and millions of Chinese. And that was one of the things, by the way, that fueled the Communist Revolution. They also tried to fuel Mao at the same time. So these are really interesting facts, and everybody in the world is getting it. And the thing is this, I do believe that European Americans are getting it. All these young people, you amaze. These people just crowded me, shook my hand, took selfies with me, just saying so glad to see me and all this stuff. I wasn't there for that. I was there just to support Nick. And I'm glad to lend my support to Nick. But it's and his work.
Did you meet him there, Dave?
I didn't see him at that event because of all that stuff, but I'm certainly supporting him. I didn't get the chance to see him there at that time.
It's funny. Okay. I just saw a video of you. I'm going to run it in the show tonight, where Mark Collette pinned it in Telegram. David Duke joins a protest in Detroit after AFPAC was shut down. So that's where they filmed you. I don't know if you remember it, because there were probably tons of people filming you and interviewing.
I've had some Jews that filmed some stuff that was attacking me. I don't know if that's one of those.
No, I don't think it's that.
Well, you have to send me a link for that.
I'm going to send it to you right now. I'll send it to you right now on Skype.
Well, listen, I'm sorry I can't be with you for the question and answer situation tonight. I'll be flying, but I'll be in the air.
That's why we wanted to do this now.
But I'm sure you can handle the questions quite well.
Nobody can do it like David Duke, so no.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
The answer to that is no.
I'll tell you, if the Lone Ranger's in the saddle and the guy next to him is in the saddle, you know, there's nobody I want in the saddle next to me more than you.
I appreciate that, buddy. I mean that
in an intellectual way, of course.
No. you call me Tonto, Lone Ranger.
Well, no Tonto for you, buddy.
I'm going to send you this video right now, Dave. All right, hold on.
We're going to all be good Indians, and we're going to get together. And we're going, and I grew up, I'll tell you a good example. They always talk about white people as evil and hateful and supremacist people and all that. We put an Indian head in the back of our nickel, a kind of a reverence for them, honoring them, right? We got a symbol of liberty on top of the Capitol with a guy with a headdress on, like feathers. Now, that may not be an Indian, but it looks like an Indian, I'll tell you that. And when we were kids, as far as I was, and I don't know where you grew up, but when we were kids, we'd sometimes play cowboys and Indians.
Yeah, all the time.
Sometimes we fought to be the Indians because we also respected the Indians, right? And we kind of romanticized Indians in a way as being, like these noble, people and resisting a very powerful force and courageous and nature. And they had everything we liked. They were close to the soil. They were close to, they loved to hunt, right? And close to the land. And of course we had battles with Indians, Europeans, naturally. But the interesting thing was we've had many wars where we respected our enemies in European history. And we respected Indians, actually. And the truth is, there's always these lies they say about Europeans. Like one of the big lies they say now is that the Indians were genocided. Our white people genocided. That's why the Indian numbers were reduced. Well, the numbers were never that super great anyway in America. But the truth is, what really destroyed Indians was not anything intentional. It was smallpox. Now, somehow they say at one point in one place, this is alleged or whatever, that there was somebody that brought smallpox blankets, purposely wanting to do Indians. Well, I don't think that was ever a common, you know, activity. And there's no evidence that it was. And I think most Europeans would have been reviled at that. And they didn't want to spread a smallpox either, because smallpox, whoever it spread to, it's going to eventually get back to your own people too, and it's going to kill a lot of your own people. That would have been stupid. But Indians, because they never had, and then that was just the fact that they were separate from we are across the whole sea, oceans. And because of that, they just didn't have any immunity to it. So when smallpox started to spread, just like many diseases in Europe, bubonic plague spread in Europe. I mean, it killed about a third to half of the population. And so that's what really caused it. It wasn't a purposeful genocide. And the government of the United States, even after the war, tried to do many things to improve their education, to improve their hospitalization. They still give Indians certain special privileges about, in terms of tax paying, where they don't have to pay as many taxes, or they have certain privileges. Being Indians in certain autonomies, being on Indian lands as compared to other, that other Americans don't have. That's one reason why they can do on the so-called reservations or Indian lands, they can do these casinos. But the problem about the casinos is the people making the money from those casinos on those Indian lands are these Jewish casino owners. The Indians are supposed to get the money, but they never even see it, you know. And I don't even think they report the money that comes in all over the state, you know, over the state. But anyway, it's been a very interesting time here, a very courageous time, interesting time. And we'll let people, I'll give you some links later on, and we'll let people know where they can find some of these interviews I've been doing. I've been doing some big interviews, and I think all of our people are really going to enjoy them.
Yeah, please do that, Dave. Send those links. And do you want me to send the video to your cell phone, or is Skype fine?
Oh, you can send it to my cell phone right now. It's fine, to my number. That'd be okay. Fine.
Yeah, I have it. We've texted before. So I will I'll send it right now, Dave.
All right.
And thank you for...
Oh, that's great, Dave.
Yeah, thank you for filling everybody in. And I hope you have a safe flight. And... You know, send me a message when you get in.
I certainly shall. And man, I'm thankful for your work too, Dave, and your great publishing and your great things that you do. And I thank you for your friendship, and I thank you for your encouragement. And we are busy doing our very best to save our people, our freedoms, our children's future, our grandchildren's future, and the future of every decent person in the whole world. And there are many decent people, many different races and societies. Just like we have a right to live, they have a right to live. And our people are not about like Jewish premises. We're not trying to control everybody or enslave everybody or harm everybody. All we're trying to do is make sure that our people live, and we want to live in peace with the world. Now, if somebody wants to invade us, we're going to defend ourselves and our families. But we're really standing up for the rights of European mankind and Christians, but also the rights of all people, because every people on the earth has their own unique nature, their history, their heritage, their values, their culture, their beliefs, and they certainly have a right to preserve those things and defend those. And you know what? If you look at it that way, how can anybody argue with us? This is an idea that a kid can... You know, argue with a teacher out in school, and he'd win, or with any other classmates. You know, if anybody else, if Jews can stand for their heritage, which they do incredibly, and if other blacks can, then we should all be able to stand up for our heritage. Well, I enjoyed the program, and we have some people here in the airport where I am right now.
They're surrounding
a young gentleman who is listening to him. Smiling, he wants me to sign a book.
All right. All right, Dave. Well, listen, happy Father's Day, buddy.
Well, thank you, sir. And give the best to you, too. Have a great day, Mr. Father.
Thank you, Dave. All right,
bye.
Buddy.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye. Okay, that was it. So let's get to the calls. All right. Nick, what's going on, shipmate? Nick.
Oh, I was on mute.
I do it all the time.
I was just gonna send you a.
Yes.
I was just gonna send you
a million dollars
that I didn't have anything. So I'm surprised I'm there first. Richard's not around.
Who's Richard? Yes, he's here. He's hiding out behind a gnome de guerre. How did you like the Dukester call?
Oh, well, it was fine. I was doing some other stuff, and I'm surprised he went up there, but if that's what he wants to do, that's fine, too.
Right.
It sounded like it was a kind of a wasted trip since they didn't have the conference, I guess, right?
Well, I don't even know if he bought tickets to the conference. I think he just went there to, like, mingle with the crowds.
Well, I'm not a fan of Fuentes. I think he's controlled up. So.
Yeah, well, hey, let me play that video, actually. Here, that's right. Thank you. Let me do that right now. Hold on. This is Fuentes outside the Capitol on January 6th. All right, let's see. Okay, so hopefully that came through, and that was Break Down the Barriers, Disregard the Police. Let me see, Nick, did that video come through loud and clear?
Yeah, it seemed to be, and just proves that the guys... part of the show.
Right, because everyone else was arrested and prosecuted and persecuted.
Right. Yeah.
But he wasn't.
No, and that's plain that he was inciting.
Right. Right. Break down the barricades. Exactly. With a bullhorn. Break down what the barricades and disregard the police.
The police.
It is a joke, man. The whole thing's everything is just every day that passes by, it becomes more of a joke. Not that I disagree with his sentiments, but if you're going to lock people up for doing much, much less than what this guy did, it's just this two or three or four tiered, justice system is. It's not good. It's going to lead to, it's leading to it's a moral hazard. And that's why why should I follow the law?
Right. I mean, and now the thing about the House passing the Selective Service stuff, I mean, they're trying to incite, violence and, you know, 60s Vietnam type of stuff so that they can fulfill their agenda of martial law or whatever it is.
They're up to something, that's for sure.
Hopefully all those jabs will cull the herd and, you know, whittle down who we have to decide is the enemy and who isn't.
I think it is. You're right. All right, shipmate, I'll get you back in.
Thank you. Happy All Father's right. Day.
God. Yes, you too, buddy. Happy Father's Thanks. Day. Thanks. Okay. Auslander Rouse. This has got to be Richard.
Well done. Well done. Well, you managed to get me out.
Oh, it was nothing. It was nothing really. How are you, Richard?
Very good, man. Very good. Like, happy Father's Day to you, mate.
Thank you.
You need to celebrate on a different day in America as you do in Britain. But
I was going to ask. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's somewhere else. Like, I don't know whether it's the same month but a different day. But I can't tell you offhand. Has he convinced you that Fuentes is our guy, Dave Gahari? Like, what are your thoughts on Fuentes?
He's like a you know, like a clown. It's nothing serious to me. I don't know.
No. I mean, it is interesting, isn't it? Because, like, you may not know this, but we have elections in the UK coming up on.
Oh, I know that. Yes,
the 4th of July, and a lot of people are getting excited about Nigel Farage, who's again one of these figures, obviously a lot more older, very different character to Nick Fuentes, but a lot of people are getting excited about him re-entering to the fray. I think he's become the leader of the Reform Party. But, you know, at this point in time, like, elections are a joke, aren't they? Like, I'm more inclined to the view of Nick that, you know, really what is the most important thing is state militia and the ability to arm yourself. Like, that's something which we used to have in this country. In America, you still do. But increasingly, like electioneering, whether I don't know whether it will be Trump and Biden again for 2024, a lot of people are disillusioned by it in this country and yours. But on the subject of Fuentes, just to continue the tangent for a bit, I think that he's interesting in the sense that, like Dave, I guess, you've both become, or both of these figures have become disillusioned with Trump, right? Trump's been making very, sycophantic praise of Israel, saying that the Palestinian protesters should be sent to Gaza and they should be executed even. And MAGA, you know, Make America Great Again, it's kind of fallen by the wayside. I don't think there's going to be the enthusiasm of 2016 for the recurrent election coming up later this year. But that's the important thing I wanted to ask you about, which is that, you know, with the, decline of Trump, what does AIPAC represent now? Like, America First, that was one of Trump's policies, right? Like, where is that going in America right now?
Okay, you said AIPAC. Is that what you meant?
Oh, no. Sorry.
Okay.
AIPAC, isn't it? Is it America
First? Yeah, AIPAC, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's right. And I was
not
like,
AIPAC, no.
Right. It's America First Political Action Conference.
Right.
So AIPAC is American Israel Public Affairs Committee, I think.
Right.
Which is not a PAC, and it's not a an entity that, you know, directly doles out money. I think it in PAC form. I think it's kind of like a quarterback for all of the funds that are brought in. It kind of decides, you know, what goes where, but they have different arms and they all have these very patriotic sounding names. So, you know, they're Jews, right? But they're using like American terminology and populist terminology for their individual vehicles that they use to bribe the politicians. So,
yeah.
But AFPAC, like I said, look, almost everybody's stupid. I mean, that's just the way it is, man. Right? We know that, okay? People don't know shit, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, one of the reasons why I have my my nom de guerre, as you reframed it, as Auslander Rouse, is that this is something which, over the past, I think, maybe 2 or 3 weeks now, around Europe, especially Germany. People have been singing alongside this Italian dance song from, I think, 1999. They've been singing the phrase Ausländer auf, Deutschländer, Deutschländer, Ausländer auf, which means foreigners out. That's what it comes down to.
And yes,
the politicians are very concerned by this because these are predominantly young people, 21, that kind of age bracket. And they're singing these things which are seen as extremism. I don't know if you're aware of this, Gahare. But
I am, yeah.
I think they've made the NRM, Nordic Resistance Movement, a terrorist organization.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they have to. They have to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They have to, because look what happened with the elections in Europe and
that's
how
right.
Macron dissolved the Legislative Assembly. It's like, okay, we can do whatever we want. Let's just dissolve it. And we didn't do well, so let's dissolve it and, you know, get a mulligan. Yeah, it's a joke.
I wanted to ask one last question to you, Dave.
Yeah.
And it really does fall into, the kind of like gist of what I was going to ask. We've been talking a lot about elections, Nigel Farage, Nicolas Chaife-Wontes. Do you think that electioneering is still a possible route for victory in the sense that, as you said, in Europe, there's been, I think, sizable amounts of votes dedicated to, I think, the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland. I think there's also, instances of perhaps the UK Reform Party maybe picking up some votes. I mean, Nigel might actually win a seat this time around. But where do you stand on that, Dave? And given, obviously, you're an American background, I'm sure it is, but can you elucidate more about that, if you may? That's my final question. I'll let someone ask me.
Yes. Thank you. I think that it appears as if the immigrants that are invading your country and others in Europe are beginning to really piss a lot of people off. And of course it would have to get to that level. They don't belong there, obviously. And they're committing crimes, and they just don't fit in. I mean, how could they? They're not from there. So these politicians really are treasonous. I think that, I don't know what the numbers are in Europe. I know the numbers here in the United States, or I shouldn't say I know. I'm told the numbers here in the United States are about 50%. Of the eligible electorate votes in presidential elections, about 25% in congressional. It's probably even lower than that, I would guess. People don't vote. They don't know anything. I mean, really, pretty much everything that we are told, we're getting it through the, the prism of the Jew. And what do we really know, right?
I mean, I think there comes a point, though, that, not voting becomes an informed choice. There's no, viable option out there. So you may as well just shut up. Almost you kind of give consent by voting and playing a part in the process. So by removing yourself from it and not voting, that itself is perhaps a kind of expression of power in that sense, maybe.
Yeah, it's a protest vote. Yep, sure. Absolutely. And there's a lot of people, I think, who are completely disgusted. They, they see the multi-level tiers of injustice. They call it justice. And they see what these politicians are doing, how they're not even, querying the electorate. Hey, would you mind if we brought in, like 2 million Africans into your, is that okay? They're not even asking them. They're just doing it. So that's why you hear that said about the 1965 Immigration Reform Act here in the United States. And you guys had one the same year. The politicians in the UK and the politicians in the US, of course, it was manipulated by the Jew. Wouldn't go to the citizens via their town hall meetings or a newspaper or a radio broadcast or TV broadcast and say, we're thinking of doing this. Can you chime in, please? I remember when I used to run the Disabled American Veteran chapter. In New Jersey, as the commander, I read the regulations, and the purpose of the commander was to simply, control the meeting. The whole point was to allow the membership to vote and decide what they wanted to do. So it was funny because, you know, once I explained that to them, you know, they would ask me a question as the commander, and I would say, I don't know. It's up to you guys. You vote and you decide. I'm not here to tell you what to do. A lot of them kind of didn't like that. They wanted to be told what to do. And I think they felt uncomfortable with the power they had instead of being like, wow, that's cool. So we can decide? Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to work, dummy. So, you know, I hardly have any faith in, you know, the intelligence of, you know, the unwashed masses. Look, even we don't know anything, and we know a lot more than them. And that's the problem. We're just fed this crap, and we think we know it, but we really don't. You know, we could talk like we'd know it, but we really don't know anything. You know, you have to dig deep into stuff in order to, you know, hope to even, like, understand it a little bit. So I just hope that, you know, the people in Europe stand up and take control. I think the younger generation is not fooled and they're not duped and they've got the internet. They can see everything and they're not going to put up with it. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's reflective of the way in which we're ruled now, isn't it? Like, by way of deception. Increasingly, public calls aren't used anymore. These are, you know, fall into this despair. Things are done, you know, clandestine in the shadows and without people realizing what it is that's going on. I mean, 1965 was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but we're seeing the effects of it now, unfortunately. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Richard. Yeah. All right, buddy. I'll get you back in.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, Jimmy, what's the good news, buddy?
Hey, happy Father's Day, everybody.
You too, and, Jimmy.
Yeah, thanks, man. And you know, the internet comes from the Father above. And, I mean, it's really done light years or something with the Jew info because, you know, passing books around and telling stories for the last, you know, couple thousand years didn't get us far. So it is moving along. But it was solemn kind of to hear David went down there and Dr. Duke and went down there and you know, it didn't even... What do you know exactly what happened with why it got canceled or how they did that?
No, I mean, I don't know how they were tipped off perhaps about who, you know, reserved the spot and then all of a sudden there were these... Probably they saw the this group of... what they call groypers and alt-right types gathering around. They put two and two together and went, okay, so somebody rented the facility and that's not really the people who are going to be in there. And they probably were, but I'm sure there's a bunch of Jews hanging out there and reporting. That's the way it works. And Antifa and any of these, look, Jews are, you know, natural spies. So it's what they do. And they probably tipped off the, they probably had a, you know, a direct line to that Russell Center. I'm sure. Maybe there's even a Jew. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's Jews like, everywhere. Yeah.
It's like Dr. Duke was saying, you know, we're all tapped and everything anyway. And it was, you know, I never knew that about Fuentes being on that January 6th video.
Yeah, nobody does. It's hard to find that stuff. That's from Jason Kessler's BitChute channel. He did a lot of work, investigative reporting on all this stuff. And there are a lot of federal informants at Charlottesville and at J6.
You know, it seems like we got to be skeptical about everybody and everything. But we also have to take some chances, too, and you know, like I've listened to some of his stuff, and I can't listen. say about a lot of things, and I always thought it was all right. He was on point. But yeah, there's always you got to be always skeptical about everything. I mean,
but yes, I agree. All right, Jimmy, thank you, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
right, we'll get
busy week. We'll get you. I missed you on your other shows. So
yeah, it was a rough week. You too, huh? All right, buddy, we'll get you back in.
Okay,
Elizabeth, what's the good news?
Well, I was watching Fox News today, unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's so and the more I listen to your radio station, the more I just can't stomach television.
No,
I just can't. I mean, it's just they're living in the last century. I saw several news items where they were talking about how, oh, the stars in Hollywood, this is the exact wording they used, the celebrities and the stars in Hollywood. Is this 1965? Because I didn't get the memo. It's like,
well, there's the baby boomers are still alive, so they're the ones who watch the television. You shouldn't be watching TV, Elizabeth.
Well, I don't get near TV very often, but when I do, I kind of like to catch up. But right. I got the sound turned off a lot.
Right, and it's poison. It's poison. It's a joke. Look, I haven't watched it since 91. I've seen like, you know, when I've been in hotels or in offices and the TV's on, but we don't have a television. We have a monitor, but we don't have any cable. So it's a total waste. It's a joke.
Yeah. I know somebody, he's passed away. He was a generation older than me, but he quit watching television in the 70s when they started having black comedies, you know, situation comedies. Yeah, that's it. I'm out.
Right.
And, he was an Irishman, and I respect his viewpoint. I mean, that's how he felt. That's how he felt. And
yeah.
So a lot of people are that way. I remember, you know, staying with my grandpa after my grandma died. I went up and cooked for him for a couple of weeks because also I wanted to get away from my first husband. I couldn't stand him. But anyway, we were watching TV in the evening, and I started to turn on Different Stroke, some show back in there. In the late 70s, and Gramps said, no, no, not in this house.
Cool.
And he was a very nice man. He was a Mason. He was English background, last name Eaton, E-A-T-O-N. And he was a lovely, lovely person, but I respect his opinion. We're allowed to, what's wrong with us wanting to be white and remain white in our life?
Well, you got to ask that to the Jew. There is nothing wrong with it, but that's the Jew. So, and that's why we're all here, right?
One thing you said really hit home just now. You said the Jews are natural spies, and I wanted to run this by you. Absolutely. I mean, it's what they do. They're fucking spies. But what would you do? What do you think about this? That probably already, just, you know, I hate to give Dr. Duke any credit, but they're already watching us as I talk in this. They're already watching me, you know, in my jammies in bed, talking to you. And what if, you know, they then allow that to go on the internet for like $200 a month? You can have spy vision, and anybody on, say, X that you wanted to follow, you could see them sitting, you know, in their living room or in their bedroom in bed, you know, contributing to X. I think that's a possibility, don't you?
I mean, anything's possible, but don't they have like all that stuff now already?
No, right? Women
make a lot of money on those OnlyFans and all that.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah. No, yeah. But I mean, this technology, of course, is already here. I knew that way, you know, but I remember, I'll say this and then I'll get off and let somebody else talk. But I remember when I had the misfortune to date a Jewish guy, and when I was going to Purdue for a year, his name was Elliot, and his friends were talking, this is back in the 70s, mind you, his friends, they were always Jews, he never hung around anything but Jews, and his friends were talking about something called planned obsolescence, which I had to ask them back then, because I had no idea what it meant. And it's,
planned obsolescence.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah. And, and it's just they deliberately, like, you know, when they design cassette players, you know, you couldn't.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yes.
And
right. Just like cell phones, same, it's garbage technology, and they're going to introduce something better, but they sucked everybody in and used the cell phones, right? Or refrigerators, right? They used to run for 20 years. Now they run for, you know, 20 days. You got to get another part from China.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, and I order stuff from, I'm really worried about China, because I order stuff from China every now and then, because you can get it so much cheaper, like if I wanted a blouse or, an MP3 player.
I order all my blouses from China as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But anyway, and I'm really worried, because they send me the wrong stuff in the mail all the time. I think, God, they don't communicate very well with Whitey or Americans, because my order's almost always fucked up, and I get this crazy stuff.
Hate it when that happens.
But anyway.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. All right, dear. We'll get you back in. Bye.
Okay.
Michael, what's the good news, buddy?
Yeah, I ordered that Jason Kessler book, that link you sent me. So I've got that
coming.
Oh,
did you get it?
No.
Oh, it's coming. Good. Yeah, you're going to like it. Yeah,
I want to really read up. I want to know what really happened. And, of course, there's federal informants. Whenever we get together for a good thing, they send in their fucking... they're federal informants.
They're everywhere, man. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
They've been doing it back at COINTELPRO and probably ever since the FBI, when that fucking faggot Hoover ran the FBI for 50 years.
That's right.
You know, he had dirt on everybody. But, we have to recognize our politicians in D.C. is our enemy combatants. They are our enemy. They hate us. They want us dead. And we need to balkanize, get into communities with people that think like us, and balkanize. I think that's, as the United States deteriorates day by day, and unfortunately, it's not going to get any better as the years go by. No, there's not a political solution to what we see going on. I hate to say that, because
There isn't. Yeah, obviously.
It's not a political solution.
No, it's over. It's finished.
So when we're talking about Nigel Farage or fucking Donald Trump or this boob or that fucking boob,
No.
These people, they're bought and paid for by AIPAC. I mean, so.
You're right. The system is, it's not able to be resuscitated. It needs to be taken apart and rebuilt from scratch.
Yep. Okay, that's right, all I have to say. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, buddy. You too, my friend.
All right, man.
Thanks, Michael. Adios. All right, buddy. Take care. Okay, oy vey, we got CB.
Shalom, Dave Gaharri. Long time no speak.
And guess what? You're working. You're not disappearing after the shalom.
Well, we're going to do an after show, I guess, is what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is that, remember, you used to call in and you would just disappear. The call would just... fall off.
Well, I guess it must be, even though it's Father's Day here, it must be some kind of special national holiday over in Tel Aviv, so that they're a little busy right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they can't fuck with us. What's the good news, buddy?
Well, incidentally, speaking of it being Father's Day, and they were having this thing in Detroit. I don't know if you know this, but Father's Day just happens to be the most confusing day of the year in Detroit, as well as Baltimore, Harlem, St. Louis, Oakland, and anywhere else where there's a you-know-what majority chocolate city, for obvious reasons.
Yes.
I thought that's kind of a strange location, too. You know, that's like that. That numbskull Richard Spencer a couple of years ago having it in his thing in Washington, D.C. I mean, at least with our friend Judd Taylor, he likes to go and have it out in the woods in, Tennessee or Missouri or whatever. That I can understand. I don't go to these things. I don't have the money and I don't have the time as much as I like to go. I don't get there. There was one actually I was disappointed I couldn't go right here about a couple of weeks ago, not too far from me here in South Carolina. James Miller, I think is his name, the guy with the political cesspool. He had
James Edwards.
Yeah, Edwards. He had one like 20 minutes from me in South Carolina, but I didn't know about it. Otherwise, I would have went.
Because you heard from who?
Well, I was going to say Harry Cooper is who I heard it from. Harry Cooper,
I didn't go over there. And, because they needed to keep it under wraps. I talked to James a day or so before the conference. I knew where it was out because I was sending Kessler his books there because he went there. So they didn't want anybody to know, obviously.
Right.
And that's why, unfortunately. If you would have talked to me, I could have hooked you up.
Yeah, I wish I did. I would have known. I would have loved to have gone. And I haven't seen Harry in about 5 years. He's always a lot of fun. He's a nice guy. Funny guy, yeah. And he was telling me that, well, he was telling everybody on Rensa's show that apparently the Dukester's niece was there, pretty young blonde girl, and she wanted to adopt him as her grandfather.
Ah.
But yeah, he's quite a guy. He's got a hot young daughter himself. I mean, I think she's engaged to some guy or married or whatnot, but he's still going at his age. His wife is like 25, 30 years younger than him.
Jeez. I'm not allowed to look at hot blondes. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right, sure do.
Yeah, yes.
So anyways, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, say I'm surprised that Dukester went up there. I mean, good for him, but, I mean, you know, Detroit is not really high on my list of places to go. It's just not really, like, you know, a place. And I don't go to any of these things. I didn't know about Fuentes with the January 6th thing, but I've been hearing a lot of things about him, you know, for a while now, that he's you know, neither here nor there. There was an incident supposedly a couple of years ago. This is like what you talk about, the incel thing. So I'll give you a little background on incel. Basically, when you're so committed to the movement that you can't hide, you know, you can't put on that mask and pretend that, like, you're just a normie dumbass, and you, like, let it be known to normies what you know about. Most women are normies and they're brainwashed and they won't have anything to do with you. So that makes you into an incel. With him, there was an incident a couple of years ago, supposedly. I think it was in like 2021 or 2022. It might have been when the AFPAC or something. It was in D.C. Kathy Zhu, the very lovely Asian right winger, was supposedly wanted to hang out with him. Now, I don't care how much of a white supremacist you are. I mean, if you turn down an evening with Kathy Zhu and you're a single young guy, like, there's something really wrong with you. So, yeah, that's what he didn't want to hang out with her because, you know, he wanted to remain pure or whatever.
So. Hey, we're going to have to pick this up in the after show, my friend.
Sounds good.
So, there it is. Yep, there it is, folks. The show is over. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for putting up with me while Dukester was traveling, flying, and we will be back next week.
Don't forget to tune in next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the Dave and Duke Call-In Show, where David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke will take your phone calls and discuss whatever questions you want to bring to the table. See you next Sunday.